No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome into the Pick and Save WFCA show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. It's been a while. Coach, how are you? Tom Swiddle, good to see you.
I'm doing great. I have to adjust to a little weather change from where I was earlier in the week.
You were in Vegas?
I was, yes.
Yeah, I was in Mexico 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, it's cold out there.
It is.
Hola. That's how you know I've said hola about 4 million times.
And probably Corona half that many times.
No, not anymore, pal. But you know what? All inclusive, they paid.
Oh,
man,
wow.
those buffets were, yeah, they didn't like seeing me coming, I think. Coach, it's great that we're talking football. On April 7th, it is cold outside, but for people, and people throughout the year will ask me, why do you talk football in the summertime, springtime? Why don't you just wait till August? And I tell them the story that you came in and said, hey, can I come see you? And your opening statement was, look, I think football is safer now than it's ever been. And nobody's telling that story. We need a platform to talk about it. And some of the great things that the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association does every year that we don't really do a good enough job of getting up by the mountaintop and telling people about it. And I think this is year four for us?
Year four, yeah.
Man, and we're still hanging out.
We're still hanging, yeah.
And you're the only guy that's ever done that with me that long. So
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah, me neither. But thank you so much for doing this. And it really is good to be back. In studio with us today, Doug Sarver. From 10:30 to 11, we're going to talk to Wade Lebecki, from Deputy Director of the WIAA. We're going to talk a lot about football-only conference discussions.
Yeah.
And along with some other football things that we need to talk to him about. He was on last week, and it was a love fest for him because they're going to cancel, you know, summer baseball,
yes.
and everybody that was in studio. And I said, it's not going to be that much love next week. He said, nah, I'm figuring that. Not with those two guys. So you two guys are going to have to take him on a little bit. Tony Biola will join us at 11 o'clock. We're going to start talking about the WFCA Combine that's coming up April 27th. In fact, at Sussex Hamilton, again, we'll be doing our shows live from there, from that indoor facility, which is phenomenal, at Sussex Hamilton. We'll also talk to Matt Harris at 11:15. He's the head football coach at Waukesha North, does the WFCA player profile, and he's going to talk a little bit about that. And we'll end the show with Dennis Miller, going to come in studio. He's the football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College, and Tony Dungy's going to be in town. On, I think it's the 27th.
April 27th, yes.
He's going to be in town. So is the The combine is the 28th then?
No, it's the 21st. So in 2 weeks is the combine.
Okay, the 21st.
Yes.
Yeah, in 2 weeks from today.
Yes, so 2 weeks from today.
7 plus 4. I went to Messmer, Doug, so 7 carry the 1. Doug, it's good to see you. How you been, sir?
I'm good. It's good morning, Mike and Tom, and it's good to be here and talking some high school football.
Man, 12 months a year we could do this, right?
Absolutely.
Don't give Swiddle any ideas, man. He'll be coming back a couple weeks saying, no, you said we could do this for 12 months. St. Francis, everything going well for you?
Yeah, we're in our off season. The kids are working hard. We've got a lot of kids in other sports, so that's what I like to see.
Good. You guys had a good year.
We had a good year. We're trying to get a better year next year.
Yeah. A lot of guys coming back?
Yes, we do have a lot of guys coming back.
Good. Good for you. What's your feeling on this football-only conference? What's your thought on this?
I think it's something that the WIAA approached us with and gave us the opportunity to have a lot of input in the future of Wisconsin high school football. It's something that we think is needed, a uniformity across the state that we're going to try and get right.
Can you give us kind of just a brief synopsis on what when somebody says to you what is that and how will it affect some of the schools here, some of the big football powerhouses?
Well, let me start where in December the WFCA Advisory Committee met with the WIAA, as we do every year, and we were asked if we would be interested in putting together a football-only conference statewide for 2020. We talked about it as a executive board and decided that this is a challenge that we wanted to take on. I asked each one of our members, hey, this is going to draw some criticism at some point.
Yeah, you bet.
And are you willing to take that? And they all agreed, this is worthwhile. So that's kind of where we started.
Hey, Tom, you're shaking your head.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be a tough path for some of these guys. And I like it myself. I think it's been needed, without a doubt. But in everything that you try to do in the state of Wisconsin, you know, there's some naysayers and guys that go, nope, I want no change.
Right. Well, you know, I think the key word that Doug used was uniformity, because right now we have really a hodgepodge of conferences. We have 10-team conferences. We have 9-team conferences. We have conferences as small as 5 teams. So there isn't any kind of uniformity in that way. And, you know, so there's an attempt right now with football-only conferences to make it an even playing field throughout the state, so everybody has the same path to the playoffs, for instance.
Go ahead.
Correct. What we're going to try to do is what we're doing is taking the 10s and the 11-team conferences and the 9-team conferences down to 8s or 7s. Taking the 5 and 6 team conferences up to 7s and 8s. So that's what we've been working on, and that's the uniformity that we're talking about.
Is it strictly enrollment?
Most conferences are going to stay together. That's what people don't realize.
Yeah.
A lot of them are going to stay together. Very little change or just some change. And they're all enrollment. When we make the changes, yes, enrollment and geographic area are taken into consideration.
Will you take a look at schools that asked for relief last time that didn't get it? I mean, does any of that matter? Not really, right?
No. Our objective is not to give people relief. Our objective is to get uniformity. Now, along that way where we have to move some teams, if we can create some relief for some schools, we will. But everybody has to understand that's not the objective of this football-only conferences. There will be in place procedures for schools to ask for relief as we move along.
Right. That's an important part, because some of the guys who haven't looked too far into this that heard about it said, oh, thank goodness, because, you know, I play, or my kid plays, or I used to go to, or I coach at one of the schools that I think got totally screwed by the WIA. And now this means that we're getting out, right? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think you need to just take a breath and understand what they're trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, that's correct. Of the 390-so 11-man football schools in the state of Wisconsin, right now about 56 are going to change conferences.
That's it.
That's it. About 15%.
That's a small percentage. How many do you think in southeast Wisconsin, in our neck of the woods?
Probably half of that.
Okay. And how will... Will the teams that will be moved, which is a small number, will they have input into whether they, once this thing is done and you say, okay, you're going here, that's where the pushback's going to come from?
Well, one of the things that we've done along the way here is we've met a couple weekends through January and February, and we've also solicited the input of many coaches as we've gone along, especially the ones that are being affected that we
Smart.
Think are trouble spots.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Tom earlier about this, and some of the coaches that we have solicited are the more successful, stronger voice coaches in the state of Wisconsin who we want and need to have their support for this.
Right.
And have given.
That's awesome. What's the time frame on it, do you think?
Well, that's the thing, that everybody wants it done now. We have till December, December 2018 advisory meeting with the WIA to have the plan implemented. So we have a lot of time between now and then to get it right.
You're in lockstep. You're walking with these guys. You, Tom Swindle, you believe in this?
Absolutely. I think it's what's best for football in the state. You know, Mike, and we've talked about a lot of things over the last 4 years that affect – you know, individual schools or individual teams, you know, and, you know, there's an ethnocentrism with this where,
right.
You know, you want to see it from your perspective. This is a topic that has a lot of interest across the state. You know, everybody's looking at this because it could affect their conference. It may not move them, but it could move somebody into their conference.
Or out of their conference.
Or out of their conference.
Right.
So, you know, you have everybody's interest. And one of the things that Doug and other members of this committee did at the clinic is we discussed this at the business meeting. And I would say, Doug, that overwhelmingly the people supported it at the business meeting. They understand what this is about. So I think this, unlike the district plan from,
right,
you know, I don't know how many years ago that was now, 7-8 years ago, maybe longer, that didn't have a lot of support, this one does have a lot of support.
Here's what I like the best of, and you know, reading through some of this where you talk process and procedure, something that I don't know the WIA does a great job with very often, but three things that the proposal is going to include. And it's going to include an agreement of school personnel, superintendent, high school principal, AD, and head coach. Rationale and reasoning for change. That one for me is huge. Rationale and reasoning for change. And number three, plan and option for proposed change. Number two, I think, is huge. Because there are times that, and I'll say this when Wade's on, that, you know, WIA is going to do it their way. And there's not a lot of rationale or reasoning to why they're doing it sometimes. And I think that that's important for you.
Well, yes, and just being able to have input in this process has really opened up our partnership with the WIAA. And they are a partner in this with us.
That's awesome.
And they are on board and have been all along, and we appreciate that.
Well, they look, and Wade will say, look, we work for our members. And they do. But sometimes it's – look, they're in a tough spot. I'm a big Wade fan. I think he does a really good job, and he gets it because he's been where we're at. You know, he's been at the high school level coaching and understanding that stuff. So good for you guys. That rationale and reasoning for change, I think, is important, especially when you say, look, this is the reason we need to do this.
Well, they have the rationale and reasoning for change, but they also have to have a solution.
Right.
And that's the key also.
Yeah.
They've got, what's your solution? Don't just throw it on us or the WIA and say, you guys fix it. Give us what needs to be fixed.
Right.
And what we've heard in recent years from the WIAA, loud and clear, is that if there's going to be change, it's got to come from the WFCA. I mean, we have to be
the
conduit for change.
Right. I agree. We're going to get to a break. We'll continue our conversation with Doug Sarver, who's in studio. He's Tom Swidow, my co-host. This is the Pick and Save WFCA show, brought to you by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host. Every other week we'll be at it until football starts. He's Tom Swidow. And Doug Sarver is our special guest in studio. And we're talking about football-only conferences, but we got a lot more to talk about. One of the things we talked about during the break is, and I'm sure people are now wanting to call in, and we don't take calls on the show, but their first question is, well, what's changing? What school's going where? You guys have worked part of that out, and you're still that's a work in progress, and nothing's going to be released to guys like me until this thing is ready to go.
That's correct. We have a first draft ready, which has 51 conferences throughout the state in either eights or sevens, where we have seven-team conferences. They will be sistered with another seven-team conference of same geographic area and enrollment, so they'll play that crossover game. So every conference
Perfect.
Now will have seven conference games. That'll be uniform across the state.
Hey, guys, do they do this in other states surrounding us? Illinois does it, or Minnesota, Michigan, and anybody else do this?
I'm not sure what they do in the other states, but they do have their own little plans and districts. I know Iowa, I've heard now, is going back away from their district plan that they had before. And I don't want people to confuse the football-only conferences with the district plan that came out several years ago that Tom was talking about. This is not anything close to that.
So when you say football-only conferences, if a school is in one conference for football, will they – be in that conference for basketball. This is football only.
Football only.
Right.
Right. So you could be playing different teams in football than what you'd be playing for other sports.
How have the ADs been with this? Have you talked to athletic directors when it comes to this?
Well, I've talked to several ADs, and again, they're on board for anything that's uniform. That makes their life easier for scheduling and things like that. And one thing that we didn't mention here is when we had all those different numbers of conferences with different numbers of teams, the non-conference scheduling became very difficult. There was close conferences of 10s and 9s, so a lot of teams didn't even play non-conference games. So it made it difficult for some schools, especially down here in the southeast part of Wisconsin, to find non-conference games without traveling out of state or traveling throughout the state.
Right.
So now weeks 1 and 2 are open statewide. Everybody is available for non-conference games.
So you don't have to drive to Hudson to get a non-conference game anymore.
Right. And I'm telling you, just my experience as a coach trying to find non-conference games, it is really hard.
Hey, before we move on, the farther you get away from, you've been retired now a little bit.
2 years. Yeah.
2 years. Easier or harder? Do you miss it more now that you've been away from it for a little bit, or is it getting easier?
It's getting easier to get away from the year-long work that was involved in being a head coach. It's harder getting away from the fact that, you know, there's still a part of you that knows a lot about football and could help teams. You know, I did volunteer last fall with a couple of schools, so I whetted my appetite, with helping teams with the X's and O's and that kind of thing.
And then Thursday night you did, stats with us on Thursday Night Lights, and then Fridays you did a game on another station, and so you were able to keep your foot in the door a little bit.
What I've really appreciated, and this sounds weird, is when you're in the middle of your season, the only schools you ever really look at are the schools in your conference.
Right.
What I've been able to do over the last 2 years with all the things I've done with you and others is to see a lot of different conferences, a lot of different teams.
Yeah,
and I've really enjoyed that.
Anything surprise you with that? There's good football all over
there
the place.
There is. And
even in St. Francis, which I know you're shocked by that. I'm not.
I'm not.
Doug's a heck of a coach.
I've known Doug for a long time and he's had a lot of success.
I know.
Conference change can help that too.
Yes, it can. It can, and it keeps guys like us on our toes because now we got to figure all of that out. How did the clinic go, by the way? Good?
Really well. We don't have the final numbers or anything like that yet, but there were a lot of coaches there. You know, when you go into a session and it's packed, it's a highly attended clinic, and it was. And, we sold out all our vendor space, and the speakers were really good.
Who were the big speakers you had this year?
Well, Thursday night was Badger night, and the Badger staff was wonderful.
Boy, it's good to be back with these guys.
I had the opportunity to myself introduce Joe Rudolph, the offensive coordinator, and he was really good. Jim Leonard was good. Of course, Paul Christ was good. But I just think there's, Doug, a wide variety of different things that we tried this year. We had sessions, think tanks, where coaches got together and they talked a specific style of defense or a specific style of offense. So, you could kind of pick and choose where you could go to get ideas, which for me is what a clinic's all about, is
that
sharing
is.
Ideas.
Oh, there was also an 8-man session where Wade Lebecki from the WI addressed the 8-man coaches and the future of 8-man football in Wisconsin, which we think is going to affect this football-only conferences. And we'll have procedures in place for when teams go to 8-man or teams co-op, or teams even drop football. We've got to have procedures in place for that. What happens when that happens?
When you started this process, and you guys were on the cutting edge, right? You guys were two of the guys that came up with this?
Well, I think this was an idea that came out of the WIA.
Okay.
And asking us whether or not we would be willing to be a participant in it.
And so when you started on the ground floor on this thing, There's a lot of things that I think people listening to this show have no idea. Stuff like what you just said. What is the procedure when a school drops? Or what is the procedure if they co-op or go to 8-man? What are we going to do?
Or they want to go independent and get out of their conference.
Right.
Know?
you know, all that stuff, man, you got to think through every line.
One thing about the independent part of it, again, is now with uniformity, who are they going to play? They'll play week one and two, and then they're going to have to go out of state. So going independent, I think, will be something of the past.
Yeah. What about, do you see that more schools are trying to co-op or more schools trying to go to eight-man? Both?
I would say it's probably 50-50. I don't know. You know, I know part of the eight-man question for schools that, our smaller schools, not a lot of kids out, is they don't view eight-man football as being, you know, real football because it's not 11-man football. So I would think if your view is that, you're more interested in co-oping than somebody who would go to eight-man and just keep it within their school.
Well, eight-man football now will have a state champion.
Right.
So that's big, and that's going to draw more teams or schools to eight-man football. So they're at about 30 right now. We could see them getting as many as 40. And if they get there, I think, and Wade can answer this better, that they'll have a 16-team then bracket for the state playoffs and the state champion.
And look, for people that don't think that's real football, there's some of these guys are getting recruited. Oh, and they're going to Division I, Division II. Yeah. There's some really good football players playing eight-man. And it's just because they're at a smaller school. Look, I talked to one of the city conference guys, and they had a co-op like from four different schools to get a team. And I asked him, I said, boy, that, you know, does that work well for you? He goes, no, it's horrible.
Yeah.
He said, our day ends at 2:50. That school over there, they end at 3:30. And they got to get on a bus to come to our practice. They get here at 10 to 4. We've already been an hour into practice.
Yeah.
Now we got to stop and try to. And he said, sometimes the bus is late. Then they don't show up. We're walking off the field. These guys show up. He said, co-op's really hard sometimes.
One of the schools I volunteered at last fall was Marshall.
Yep.
And there are, I think, three, Juneau, School of Languages, and Carmen also play at Marshall. And there are days they didn't start practice till 4:45 because it took so long for the students from the other schools to get there. It's a very, very different situation.
They had a good year.
They did?
They had a good year. That was a good football team.
Yeah.
I think they won their side, right?
They won their side and lost to Bayview in the championship game.
And I went on the week before and said, hey, it's going to be Bayview and King. And then King got beat.
Yeah.
And look, that was an easy prediction for me since King had won that side for a number of years. And they do a good job over there. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Wade Lebecki, who's the deputy director of the WIAA, will join us. He 2 weeks in a row, I wonder if I have to pay him double what I paid him last week. This is the Pick and Save WFCA show. Presented, as always, by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin High School Football. No, it's not, is it? Man, take two. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. As always, presented by our friends at Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, he's Tom Swiddle, WFCA Hall of Fame member, former head football coach at Brookfield East, our in-studio guest, Doug Sarver. And we've been talking a lot about the football-only conferences that coming down the pike here, I think. Well, if you had a guess, Doug, 2020 maybe?
It'll be 2020.
Okay. And we are joined now. He is week two weeks in a row. He's the director, deputy director at WIAA. He's Wade Lebecki. Wade, I don't have to pay you double what I paid you last week for being on this week, do I?
No.
Attaboy.
It just triples.
That's fine.
That's the weight I know. That's the weight I know.
Yeah. Three times zero is still zero, man. You can how many times you want to times that, you can. Hey, so we've been spending the first half hour of the show talking a lot about the football-only conferences. And what I learned from our conversation is a couple of things. And one of the bigger things is this venture is really something that the WIAA and the WFCA is walking lockstep on.
You know, it is. In 2009, we came forward with the district plan, and that was a different version of realignment. It went by divisions, and it really created a lot of travel. And the smaller schools were a little bit concerned about the expenses of that. And it really went too fast. And, you know, people, though, I think as the time has passed, has realized that something needs to be done to get a better ratio of enrollments in within the conferences. But the beauty of this plan here that the coaches have put together is that you really maintain the conferences for the most part. So you have the JV games that people were worried about scheduling. It's still there. And, you know, it doesn't affect a whole lot of schools. I know, I think Doug probably is mentioned it's probably about 15%.
Right.
So, you know, out of 400 and so schools, that's minimal impact. And then there's always the process in 2 years to go ahead and reevaluate if somebody has a legitimate concern to be moved. But they're going to have to be part of the solution. They can't just come forward and say, well, you don't want to be in here. They'll have to have a solution ready to go.
Well, you know what? This is a really good way of doing this thing, guys. You know, there have been things that people have wanted to get changed with the WIAA, and they fought them instead of partnering with them. They've, you know, battled through this and that. And I like this model. And this is a model that, there might be some people that don't want it, but I with the job that you guys have done so far at talking to a number of people, there's always going to be people going, no, don't do this to me. But it's for the good of the whole state of Wisconsin, it just seems to make sense to me.
Yeah, the vast majority of the coaches and ADs that we have talked to have been very supportive and given us the time to get this done and do it the best we can. Again, it's our partnership with Wade and the WIAA that's going to make this work. And we look forward to releasing a complete plan when it's ready.
And Wade, you touched on something that I think is really important. Let's say that you, with the input of this plan, you get put in a different conference that, or you remain in a conference that you would prefer not to be in. There is a way of bringing forward your thoughts and ideas of moving. Can you talk about those steps, Wade, at all? Like, what if a school doesn't like where they are after 2 years? What they would need to do?
Well, sure. You know, the whole Southeast area was just realigned in the last or 2 years ago. And there were some schools that didn't get realigned. And it really created a lot of issues. And, you know, sometimes people will come forward and say, well, we want to be moved because we can't win there. Or we want to be moved because we want to be with a sister school or something to that effect. But we're really with this plan is the coaches have actually done two things here. One, they've realigned based on the conferences, and that's the difficult part. But the part that I think might be even more difficult is you have to have a process in place. And if anything came out of the last realignment, it was that there wasn't a process in place. And I would tell you there was. It's just that people aren't real familiar with it. So we want to come up with some concrete ways that you can go ahead and petition to have a move out of a conference. And it's not going to be based on winning and losing. It's going to be based on factors that are concrete. So, I mean, if a school is in a conference that they believe they're not getting the participation numbers in because of free and reduced lunch, for example, well, if you can look at your conference and prove that, you know, you're in the bottom of the totem pole in free and reduced lunch, and therefore your participation is down, then that's a factor we would, you know, look at. And we would want to know where you think is the appropriate conference that would match that factor. So it's not going to be just, come out and say, we want to move. You're going to have to go ahead and have reasons. The other thing that I think is important is we have to have everybody in that school on board with a move. You know, we find sometimes that, you know, the athletic director will say, yes, we want to move, but the superintendent doesn't, or the school board doesn't. So we want to make sure that when they're going to do some sort of a proposal that all of the stakeholders in that school district are involved and do approve of it, because you have to have a solid rationale, but you also have to have everybody on board. And that, you know, sometimes we'll have these conference realignment hearings up in Stevens Point, and the superintendent will go, well, I didn't know anything. Well, there's been three meetings with the athletic director, and you got to make sure that there's communication within your district. So I think that's going to be an important thing. And, you know, might it be something as simple, Tom, as enrollment changing? You know, the enrollments in the rural areas are changing dramatically. And if your enrollment drops so far that you're less than, say, a 2-to-1 ratio in your conference, that might be a motivating factor to go ahead and come forward with. So it's going to really be to go ahead and try to create enrollment parity or something to that effect without increasing travel too much. And there's going to be some situations where a small school is located in the area where they're the smallest school. Sometimes the geography will get in the way of being able to move you, you know. That was a big factor in the other plan when it got beat down.
You know, that's the part I was going to talk to you about with the travel side of it. You know, that seemed to be obviously a big concern for some schools up north. And with this, Doug, I'm sure you've looked at this and put it on a map. Do you foresee any schools having that big of an issue with travel as far as if they get moved to a different conference or get moved with some other teams?
Well, one of the things that we have is the map that the WIAA uses. So when we look at changing schools from conferences, we look at the map. And we look at the geography and whether or not it creates more travel. And I'll be honest with you, in most cases, it has not created much more travel. And it's created, for some of them, a better situation. Now, we do have a team or two or school or two that will get some more travel out of this. But we've talked to them and we've asked them about it. And they would rather travel to be competitive.
Yeah, and I think that's the answer. You know, look, you talked about them being part of the solution. Well, that's the solution. You know right. What you are? You're going to have to travel a little bit further. But guess what? You're going to actually, you know, you've struggled here the last 10 years. You're going to be competitive with schools your size. I don't think anybody out there would say no to that.
Right.
I don't think.
Well, and what's interesting is, you know, it depends on what part of the state you're from. So in southeast Wisconsin, you know, schools are so close that travel really isn't an issue when you know, but it's like and Wade can attest to this. It's, you know, the northwest part of the state or
right.
the southeast part of or southwest part of the state. That's where the travel comes into play. And so coaches or schools in our area here in southeast Wisconsin, we never think about travel because it's not that big a deal to go 15 minutes one place or 25 minutes another place.
You think I should stop complaining about having to go all the way down to St. Joe's from here? That 35-minute drive?
Yeah.
That really upsets me,
yeah.
I got to tell you. We got to move St. Joe's a little closer to us.
Sure.
If Wade could handle that before the next high school basketball season, I would appreciate it. Guys, we're going to get to a break. We're going to keep Wade over for one more segment. I've got a number of questions for him outside of the conference changing and the football-only conferences. Any rule changes, we're going to talk to him about that on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I am Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He is Tom Swiddle. Our special in-studio guest, Doug Sarver. And on the phone, he is the, I guess, deputy director of the WIA. That's his correct title. I just say he's from the WIA. He is one of us.
He does a little bit of everything.
Yes,
there,
he does. Wade Lebecki, he does. He shakes hands, kiss babies with the best of them, doesn't they? Yeah, I learned how to do that from him, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, Wade, the rule changes for 2018. Can you go through, is there any big rule changes that we need to be aware of?
Well, you know, there's different types of rules that we have in WIA, and there's three types. The first one is the NFHS rules that start or are the game rules that you see played on Friday nights. And then we have season regulations, tournament procedures, and those are the ones that the Coaches Association will bring forward. So when you have the football-only conference realignment, that's brought forward by the football coaches. It's a little bit different on that one because then we also have the rules that are constitution, bylaws, and rules of eligibility, and that's what governs the WIA. And the Board of Control, it governs the schools, and it determines who's eligible. So first set of rules would be, you know, from the Coaches Association. And obviously, we have the football-only conference realignment. That's actually a Board of Control authority. So That did get passed. So when you said, is it going in 2020? Doug is correct. The board anticipates that it will be put in 2020. But a couple of the other ones is, you know, we have a waiver right now for schools that are going to play on that Thursday in August. They can start one day early on July 31st. That came through to coaches. I would tell you that probably the biggest one from the coaches is going to be the fact that we're going to do an eight-team tournament this year in 2018. So it's going to be three levels of football, and we'll determine a state champion in eight-player football. And in 2019, we're going to have 16 teams in that tournament. So those, I think, that's the biggest rules that we have coming, at least at the state level. At the national level, with the playing rules, not real big ones coming in. The first one is that if a player is properly equipped at the beginning of the game, the coaches have to say they are. Well, if for some reason their chin strap breaks or something and the referee throws another flag, then the coach gets a 15-yarder. That one's being changed. So once the coach says that at the beginning of the game that the players are properly equipped, if something breaks on equipment-wise, the coach is no longer going to be assessed a 15-yarder. They'll send the kid out of the game for the down until his equipment is fixed. So I think that's probably the biggest one. We did add a quarterback protection, so a passer is now considered a defenseless player. And, you know, knowing our quarterbacks in my history, that you know, that's not really true. But they're going to be considered a defenseless player, so they're going to be protected now once they throw the ball. And here's a biggie for you. The signal has changed now for an infraction on the free kick. So that's one of those that I think the coaches won't even notice. And then probably the only one that's a real big one as far as what we'll see is the coaches now will have an option on fouls for the kicking team. So if you, in the past, remember, if you accepted a foul on a kickoff, you had to re-kick. Now the high school is going to be similar to the NFL and the college where you can accept the penalty without a re-kick. Instead, it'll be marched off from where the ball became dead. So I think that's probably the biggest one. And I think when you listen to all of those rule changes, it's kind of nice because we don't have one of those
right.
that we've been talking about, concussion and with all of that.
Well, so Coach Swiddle wants to know that why you didn't put that protection rule in when his boy was playing quarterback. He's like, hey, you're a couple years late on that thing. You didn't let him throw enough, by the way. That's what I think.
Well, a lot of people have said that. But, you know, the fact is, you know, he was a 1,000-yard rusher and he took some hits, but he's a rusher.
He is a rusher. It's kind of nice, Doug, that this, like the rule changes he just talked about, my phone's not going to blow up with guys going, we have to do that or we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
This is kind of a nice, easy year for that.
Yeah, it's one thing. Wade, I think that there also was some talk about the quarterback when he's out of the pocket. That did not get passed. Did you want to hit on that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I'm a proponent of that. I've always told the kids that if you don't have an open receiver, throw it to your mother in the stands. And that technically is, you know, intentional grounding. And that's been called that way. And the high school is the one that, you know, is the only level where they don't let you throw the ball away if you're under attack. The hard part about changing the high school rules, and I go to Indianapolis in January, and all 51 state associations are present, is you got to get 34 states to pass that. And they don't want a rule change that is going to affect the balance between the offense and the defense. And they believe that if the quarterback rolls out of the pocket and throws the ball away to avoid getting sacked, that's an advantage for the offense. So you really need a change of mind frame there. This year it failed, but it didn't fail by a lot of votes. So I think as you have turnover on the committee, the national committee, that we'll see that probably come in. They really struggle right now with the tackle box and how do you officiate that at the high school level, because there's only five officials at the varsity level in most games. Freshman level, there might be three, there might be four. And in college and pros, I think pros are, what, are they up to eight now or nine? And I think college has just changed to eight. So they have more people to go ahead and determine what a tackle box is. So that's really the hard part in trying to change that rule, because I would like to see it changed. I think that, you know, I don't think it's an unfair advantage. I think that if there's nobody open and the quarterback's going to get sacked, let him dump the ball. But it's got to be forward, you know, the line of scrimmage, and it's got to be out of bounds.
So. Hey, Wade, with the changes that we've had, the last couple of years with the concussion and the practice rules and stuff. Any pushback or pullback from any of that? Because I think, you know, at the time there were a lot of people getting, you know, upset, and it seems like it, you know, it just kind of happened and people got involved and got used to it. And now it's just, it's a couple years in and guys just going by the rules and no issues, correct?
Correct. You know, I think that, you know, they know we're going to enforce it. And you know, I was down at the state championship, I think, last year, and they had a targeting call. And, you know, we tell them you got to err on the side of caution. So, you know, you try to go ahead and get those kids under control and have proper tackling. And, you know, that's, I think, not as big of an issue anymore with concussions. I don't hear a whole lot about it. We continue to reinforce it. Our officials are calling it, though, now, and I think they feel that they're able to call it. But I think coaches are doing a really great job of coaching it so you don't see it.
Hey, the clinic went well for you as well?
Yes, you know, and we had a great discussion with the eight-player coaches, and we talked about the future of eight-player and trying to see where they're at. They're also looking at doing some football-only realignment for 2020 as well, because we have a couple eight-player schools that need some scheduling help. There's a couple of them that are going all the way down to Illinois for four or five games, so we want to be able to make sure that they get their games at a closer venue with people who play eight player in state. So that went real well, and I thought that Doug and did a nice job of introducing the football only conference realignment up at the business meeting. You got to see what we go through every now and then when we have people who have different opinions, and you really have to, you know, it's sometimes when you're doing something like this big change, is, you know, you have to look at the overall big view. And, you know, we'll see as soon as their proposals are out there where people will sometimes zero in on how it affects them rather than how it affects the 400 schools overall.
Right. And, Wade, I was just going to ask that question, how you felt the business meeting went, and you answered that. I thought that you also handled it very well. You know, and I know how much time and effort Doug and others on the committee, Jerry Hanock and Matt Hensler and Tony Biolo and John Holk have put into this conference, football conference only thing. And I know that they've appreciated working with you, Wade. So thank you for everything that you've done also with this new proposal.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's a great idea. And I think, you know, finally we're able to see some progress moving forward. Like I said, 9 years ago when we did the district plan, it came out of nowhere for a lot of people. And we thought, you know, it would be a good solution, but now people have time. They've asked for it. We went to the area meetings, you know, the seven meetings around the state in September, and I was at every one of them, you know. So I would tell you at six out of the seven, they wanted something done with football, and at the majority of those, they wanted football-only realignment. So I think the tone has changed among the member schools. And I think the coaches have done a great job of getting some grassroots and making it as transparent as possible, because sometimes people say, well, we didn't know that or whatever. It's very important to go ahead and have transparency. So working from our end, we've got the schools moving towards it, and the coaches have a concrete solution. So I think this is going to be overall a great deal.
Man, two weeks of just nothing but niceness between this show and Wade. Never happened like that before.
Really?
I guess we're going the right direction. We're normally yelling at Wade about stuff.
Wade is one of our favorite guests.
He is one of our favorite guests, no doubt. Wade, thank you so much. Have a good weekend. I appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Mike.
You bet.
Thanks, Wade.
Wade Lebecki, Deputy Director, WIAA. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Tony Biolo, he is a WFCA past president, WFCA combine chairman.
Is going to four as of yesterday.
How many?
584 participants. Wow. Yeah,
good for you guys.
We cut it off last week,
so that's it. That's 584. I think that first year we were like at 400 or something.
Yeah, no, 450 probably. Maybe. But we've been over 500 now. Yeah.
Yeah, and now we've cut it off 2 weeks ahead, and we'll talk to Tony about that on the other side. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.